Right now, it is time to bring in our good friends, as I said, Marcy and David from the Berkshire Edge. You'll find them at theberkshireedge.com. Theberkshireedge.com is there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, bringing you news, information, updates, and events throughout the South County area and beyond. And we always welcome them in on a Wednesday morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The day has come, finally.
I have two words. Good riddance.
It's a historic day, it's a little more historic in the fact that as Joe Biden is leaving to go to the church, probably in about an hour for the beginning of those events, the president decided to not take and go to the ceremony. He wanted to leave Washington still as president of the United States, and so. That is what is happening now. So it's a busy morning.
You get a free plane ride, I guess.
as long as he's president, it's free. That's right. The interesting thing about it is it's taken a normally busy day and made it even busier in Washington, D.C. But
right.
Enough about the president leaving and enough. Joe Biden will be sworn in around noontime. Let's talk about some of the things that you have scheduled for us this morning. Last night at 9 o'clock, on the eve of the inauguration, Great Barrington residents joined other communities. We had a lot of communities in our immediate area in the lighting of lights and the ringing of bells to recognize the 400,000 deaths from COVID.
Yes, yeah, we lit a candle, put it in our window.
That's right, and our, you know. People here in Great Barrington did the same, and I'm sure they did it all over the country, just to honor those that have been suffering from this disease, which is still plaguing us.
You know, it was interesting in Millerton, New York. Ralph Fedeli went to the old schoolhouse in Sharon. The churches were lit up. And when I watched the event on TV, it was simply amazing to see the reflecting pond with those 400 lights, each representing 1,000 people that have passed away.
Those lights are not always there, are they?
No.
They were like these little towers of light?
These were all set up expressly for this, and also the fact that they're from the reflecting pool all the way to the White House, you will have 200,000 flags representing Americans that could not be there because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. You have international flags from every country in the world that are lined up there, and it's all roped off and boarded off with fencing, but it looked spectacular last night.
Yeah, it
will look spectacular today to have all that out there. So, I mean, it is it's almost like New Year's Eve, a New Year's Day, actually, where the slate gets wiped clean and we start all over again. But I think it was great how this area very quickly joined in yesterday to light the lights and ring the bells.
Yeah.
It was just a nice show of unity.
And our, as you can see on the edge, the Great Barrington Police Department lit itself up, too. Or was lighted. I'm not quite sure what it
did.
They didn't light themselves up.
I was going to say, I might have done that last night, but they didn't do that.
But they got lit.
But it's really nice to see down on the grassroots, once again, the community's all coming together for that.
Well, in this part of the country, at any rate, you know, we forget that we live in this bubble. I mean, there's an alternate reality in communities that we're not familiar with. So, I now am concerned about what goes on in other parts of this country.
Well, you know, in this country, ever since I was a kid, I remember my father used to travel a lot, and we used to fly from one coast to another coast on those big old-fashioned triprop planes. And my father and mother always used to talk about the flyover, how there was the East Coast, even back then, in the late 50s and early 60s, and the West Coast, and the rest of the country was considered flyover. Well, the rest of the country is not considered flyover anymore. It's very much
it's
in play.
It's considered Trump country.
Yeah, well, it's very much in play, and it's one of the things that future presidents, including this one, and future Congress and senators are going to have to figure out how to mend the two together. So not always agreeing, but always agreeing that it's one big country. So I think that's one of the biggest things for not only Joe Biden and not only for the House and the Senate, but for future presidents and future representatives as well. It's going to be a long slog, but I hope that this country can do it.
Well, there are an awful lot of people who hope that it can't.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and that's the problem. I mean, you know, there's a. I was just reading in the New York Times in the Sunday Review section from last week a long article about you know, the whole Christian right, which is, you know, which is very powerful now. I mean, in addition to, you know, QAnon and the white supremacists, and you know, that there are huge numbers of people who really believe that. Either that this country needs to be white, or this country needs to be definitely Christian, and that freedom is a liberal sin, and individual liberty is wrong. So, you know, it's very frightening. I mean, there are huge, huge populations of people who now, you know, can see a way to join together. So I'm very excited about Biden. I mean, I think that he's put in people who are responsible and experienced and grown up, and you know, have some integrity and concern about the country. But there, you know, it's very possible that in the next election we could have, if not Trump, someone else who, you know, is equally responsive to all these other fringe groups.
Well, time will tell. Let's go into your. Let's go on to the next story. And this is an interesting story that the Berkshire legislative delegation. They're kind of happy with the aid packages that were offered to residents and businesses by the federal government, but not so happy with what's coming out of Boston, the state government.
Well, right, and so Smitty Pignatelli, one of our state reps. And has gotten together with Richie Neal and our other delegations to help us out here. And so they've gotten together a relief package for the Berkshires and for the state. So it's going to be a little better package for us.
Well, we hope so. Richie Neal, our congressman, he represents Berkshire County in Washington, yeah. But he also chairs the House Ways and Means Committee. So, you know, that is that gives us hope.
Well, it gives you a leg up.
yeah. But, you know, it all depends on whether or not the stimulus package gets passed.
Right. But we have a fairly interesting delegation in Washington and in Boston. The really experienced Berkshire politicians and they have sufficient influence, I believe, to help this little rural county out in the very fringes of Massachusetts, you know, get what's owed to it during this terrible pandemic.
Well, you know, it's funny. South County, Massachusetts, is a lot like Dutchess County and Columbia County in New York. They're so far removed from the state government that they're overlooked, and that's where the seniority of having representatives in state government can help those regions out. The people in the right place at the right time to help out their communities. That's let's hope that it works that way and that more money can flow in. And yes, we need the federal government really to step in and help the states do what they need to do to end the pandemic. No doubt about that.
Right.
Julia
well,
Dixon.
There was a big grant through the Mass Cultural Council. There was like $10 million for relief for cultural organizations, and the Berkshires got a lot of it. I know.
That's our claim to fame, you might say.
Right, exactly.
We depend on it, cultural tourism.
And we reported on it the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, there were several organizations that got $100,000 grants. I know the organization that I chair, Close Encounters with Music, got $57,000, which we were very grateful for. So there was money spread around in the community, but we're still wondering what's happening with the next summer season.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Tanglewood will open in 2021, and there are really, I mean, I hear from my friends in New York that they all have appointments to get their vaccines, and in Massachusetts, we're not getting any.
Well, that's interesting, because in Connecticut, we're people 75 and older now, we've moved on to that, and they say now in probably the second week of February, people 65 and up will be the next vaccinated. So,
right.
So Connecticut is moving along pretty good. But you're right, Massachusetts appears to be a little behind the curve.
Yeah, and I don't understand it.
In the vaccinations, and the vaccinations is now a super important thing, because with the different variants, the quicker the public is vaccinated, and the quicker we get to 70% vaccination, the less impact the variants that are coming up with COVID will be effective. So we'll have to see what happens there. But when you talk about the South County area, really, artists, freelancers, nonprofits, they're the ones that really have had to really navigate and small local businesses and try to figure a way out to get through to the end. All this money that people hear that goes to these different organizations, it sounds like a lot of money. But you know what? In the absence of no other money coming in, it's not enough.
No. I mean, first of all, there were no ticket sales, which always is 25% of a nonprofit's revenue. It's only 25%, and the rest comes from grants. Grants through fundraising. It's hard to know we have no reports yet on how generous people have been, how individual fundraising has gone. I suspect people have been quite generous, but it still may not be enough, to keep people employed.
And
we have a very interesting article. We now have a Monday concentration of business articles on Monday, so we have Business Monday, and we had a very interesting article this Monday by a woman named Julia Dixon about how artists and freelancers are navigating the pandemic economy. And, some are doing very poorly, and in some cases the pandemic has been a boon. She writes about a woman who gives courses in writing workshops, who ordinarily gave them in person and is now giving them online, and the number of people taking her courses has skyrocketed and her costs have dropped because she doesn't have to rent a place. So she is doing quite well, whereas other people she writes about who are artists are not. They have lost their, the gig economy is doing very poorly. But we also had another article, which David didn't put on our list, by Jonathan Butler, who is the director of One Berkshires, about the dramatic rise in filing for new businesses in not only in Massachusetts but across the country, that the number of applications to the federal government for new corporate designations is up about 15% this year. And so Jonathan's article talks about three or four organizations where new entrepreneurs can go for technical assistance, because, you know, people are beginning to start their own businesses. I mean, they have time now, and it's unclear when they'll get back to work. And so it's been an opportunity for people to, you know, to pursue that dream or to think, you know, to be prompted to think about an alternative. So, I mean, I find that very interesting, the number of new businesses that are starting up.
And, you know, I guess the one thing we can all hope for out of the pandemic and to what's going on with businesses and nonprofits is it appears everybody is trying to navigate their way and set up things so they can operate. And if you can make it through this pandemic, whether you're a small business, a large business, a nonprofit, you are going to have things in place that will forever make it easier for people to access what you do with all these virtual things. Plus, you will have your regular operation back. That's the bright light that is at the end of the tunnel, hopefully,
sure
that we'll
hope
all see.
So, right.
Yeah. Because otherwise, dramatic. This area will change dramatically, and it will become a sleepy community if all these arts organizations and businesses cannot survive. It's that important. It's either we all survive together, or else we become a very sleepy bedroom community to the larger cities.
Well, and we have no larger city nearby.
That's what makes it even worse, because then more and more you're going to rely on retail over the internet, and that is just disastrous. So
it is disastrous.
We'll see.
Right?
I mean,
we'll see whether the cultural economy upon which, you know, this region has come to depend, as you know, the larger it is, those industries. You know, at General Electric and up in North Adams, it was Sprague Electric, which, you know, employed so many people, have disappeared and were supposed to have been replaced by the cultural economy, so-called. We'll see what's going to happen.
Yep.
What are we evolving to, I guess, is what we're asking.
That's exactly right. Well, we'll find out. Yeah. Our next article is...
we'll find out.
but we do have a story by our columnist Leonard Court about the influence of Mass MoCA on the city of North Adams. I mean, talk about what you do when the largest employer in town ups and leaves. it's an interesting story, and he does conclude that... Mass MoCA has been a tremendous boon for, I mean, it's not replacing all the jobs, but it is, you know, it's been a tremendous help.
Well, it's not only been a tremendous boon for the local economy, it's been a tremendous boon for, once again, the economy of everything from Northwest Connecticut, adjacent Eastern New York, right up through Massachusetts.
Yep.
It's been a big attraction that brings people to the area.
Right.
Yep.
And that's how important. I remember when Mass MoCA first started out, people were questioning what's going to happen in a town that's so. They have really, really done an amazing job to bring people in to the area. And then people, once they're in and they do go to Mass MoCA, go to other events in the area. It's just, you know, they've done a great job.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mass MoCA also is a site where it has theaters and other, you know, it's a site for not only visual arts.
Yep.
But for performing arts too,
yeah, it's,
and they've been, and they're often quite edgy, so it's really an interesting and world class institution, actually, and there's nothing quite like it in the Northeast, actually.
Well,
so it's really a gem.
We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to talk about your next thing, the last one on here, and that is Sarah Wright's account of getting the COVID-19 vaccine.
Oh, yes. This is a lovely little story about her. She calls it
the bearable lightness.
The bearable lightness of being, you know.
The bearable lightness of being vaccinated.
Being vaccinated, right. and you know, it's a great relief, to finally be able to. By the way, Marcy and I have not yet been vaccinated, so lucky for Julia Dixon, but.
Sarah Wright.
I mean Sarah Wright, and but it is it's an amusing and lighthearted way of looking at what is actually a very anxiety-producing situation for
right.
all of us, you know. So we recommend that as it's an interesting read.
Well,
yeah, and it is. I mean, and, you know, it's.
But I have to say that the rollout of this process of being vaccinated has been a disaster. Because no one knows exactly how to. There was no way, that everybody really understood how to do this. It's been every man for himself, as it were, and it's. It's just been a terrible calamity for so many people.
Well, that's the lack of coordination between the
yeah.
federal government and the states. It's if you don't have the money or you don't have the systems in place to do this the correct way, if you're a small state, Connecticut has done extremely well in it so far, and other states with less populations have done it. But if you're a state that has a fairly large population and a fairly expansive state, you have problems upon problems upon problems, and
yeah.
and there's no money there. You have to find the money first and hope the feds will come up with the money later. It's
Yep.
Well, yes, and also I think it helped to be a Republican state.
Well, it has up to this point, but I don't think that'll be the case anymore. I think it'll
No, I don't think so anymore either.
But
we have one last story about oatmeal months.
Okay.
I don't know. We may not have time for it.
Did you know that January is oatmeal month?
I don't ever want to know that because I've always hated oatmeal.
me too. I said,
Well, the writer of the article is what, Bob Lumen?
Yes, Bob Lumen. And he wrote a very popular article last month about fried chicken. Or making the perfect chicken. So he's got a huge following. We're very amused by his stuff. But now he's written this amusing tribute to oatmeal.
Right.
What's the best way to make oatmeal? So it's your readers who are making, your listeners who are making breakfast now might do well to check it out.
All right. Well, what is it? Uncle Ben's? What was it? Was it Uncle Ben's oatmeal? I don't know if it was or not.
He's recommending Bob's Red Mill.
Right.
Well, guys, next time we speak, a new president will definitely be in place, and we'll see how the communities look on that. But once again, if people want to see more information, theberkshireedge.com. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, you'll find them at theberkshireedge.com.